Section 9. Nationalism, not internationalism or cosmopolitanism. All of this raises a question. So far, the Nazi program emphasizes that collectivism and socialism take priority over the individual, but which collective or social grouping has priority? Here, the Nazi program emphatically defines its collectivism and socialism in nationalistic terms. Individuals belong primarily to their ethnic and racial groups, those ethnic and racial groups giving them their core identities. In the 1920 program, 7 of the 25 points speak directly to this issue. This issue is moderately complicated because the Nazis have 3 enemies in mind against whom they want to distinguish themselves. First, they reject Marxist socialism, or any socialism that puts economic groupings first. As much as the Nazis hated capitalism, they do not see the world as a battle between economic groups. The Marxists, as they see it, are too obsessed with and too narrowly focused on money. To the Nazis, money is only part of the battle. The major battle is between different racial and cultural groups with different biological histories, languages, values, laws, and religions. The battle is between Germans, with their particular biological inheritance and cultural history, against all other racial cultures. Second, the Nazis reject cosmopolitanism, an ideal of Western liberals who believe that all humans are essentially the same wherever one travels in the world, and who believe that one should strive to be a citizen of the world, someone who can be at home anywhere. The Nazis are nationalists, by contrast, and they reject any form of internationalism or cosmopolitanism. These themes explain the design of the Nazis' swastika flag as a symbolic integration of the socialism and the nationalism. Red is symbolic of socialism. White is symbolic of nationalism. And the swastika is, according to Hitler, representative of the Aryan struggle for racial and cultural supremacy against those who are trying to destroy the Germans. Consequently, in the Nazi program of 1920, we find many points about German national identity and asserting German needs and goals. Point 1 demands the unification of all ethnic Germans into a greater Germany. Point 8 demands that immigration by non-Germans be halted and that those who have immigrated recently be expelled from the country. Public offices can be open only to citizens, and point 3 defines citizenship in terms of the possession of German blood. And the possession of German blood is defined carefully to reject a third target of the Nazis, those whom they hate even more than the Marxists or the liberal capitalists, and that is the Jews. Point 3 of the program denies that Jews can be racial comrades of Germans. And this, in combination with the other points in the program, effectively shuts the Jews out of German life. A widely used Nazi propaganda poster displayed a dragon with 3 heads wearing hats representing the communist, the international capitalist, and the Jew, the enemies the pure German warrior must defeat. From the beginning of the party in 1920, then, the pro-German nationalism and the strong anti-Semitic themes are, like the collectivism and the socialism, core Nazi themes. While the 1920 program only mentions the Jews twice and seems to advocate only that the Jews be forced to leave Germany, within a few years the Nazi leadership had clearly begun to consider harsher measures. In 1925, for example, Hitler published Mein Kampf, a book that sold increasingly well as the Nazis rose to power. Hitler variously describes the Jews as a, quote, octopus, unquote, as, quote, a parasite on the body of the other nations, unquote, as a, quote, vampire, unquote, as, quote, a spider that was sucking the blood out of people's pores, unquote, and as having taken over the German state. To free the German folk, consequently, Hitler calls for, quote, the elimination of the existing Jewish one, unquote, and, quote, the end of this parasite upon the nations, unquote.